You got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 3. I want to read one verse of scripture, Exodus chapter 3. Well, let me read a few verses here and I want to get to it. The Lord began to deal with me when Brother Creflo last night began to deal about purity in the gospel and purity in people's lives. That began to ring in me. And then Sister Copeland is ministering on holiness and things like that. You know, and in today, I honestly believe this is the last days. I honestly believe that because of the time clock of Israel, of what is happening, the things that are happening there, the things that are happening, earthquakes and divers, all the different things that are going on in the world today. And we see a great renewal and great revival flowing out all over the world. But we're seeing such a terrible falling away. Mother against daughter, father against son. And I think of the phrase, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall come. Now, I'm known to be real funny, and I can get funny. I can have you fall out the chair. I mean, I don't mean that arrogantly. I can do that. Bless God, that's not the issue. But I want to deal with something I ministered at the West Coast Believers Convention, because I like to know the pulse of what's going on in the world, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, whether it's financial. Kathy, she says, Jesse will ask you about 11 o'clock, how's Wall Street doing? What's the NASDAQ doing? What's the Dow doing? Why, I'm constantly aware of that. I'm aware of this. I like to know world events that are happening. When I come to God, I want to know His process. I want to know why God does what He does, when He does it, and where He does it. When I listen to the gospel, when I hear someone preach the gospel like Brother Copeland, Sister Copeland, or Brother Dollar, or Brother Savelle, I want to know the process so I can learn where they're coming from, so I can understand it. So once I get it, I'll never forget it. Because it's real. Like, if you want to understand God's process, what God does is very simple. What God does is call those things to be not as though they were. Now, what God is the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long suffering, and against such there is no law. So do you understand it? So what God does is call those things to be not as though they were. What He is the fruit of the Spirit. Because wherever you see fruit, there's life. And God is life. So Ephesians 5:1 says, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. So if God calls those things to be not as though they were, then I, His child, must call those things to be not as though they were. And if God is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, mercy, grace, then I must be love, peace, joy. I must be that fruit of the Spirit. Because if God is bringing life, then everywhere I go, I must bring life. Now, once you're called to the ministry, that's an awesome responsibility. Some people are called to the ministry or feel like they're called to the ministry because they lost their job. So they hadn't been sent. They just went trying to look for something. And maybe they can move a crowd. Maybe they know how to speak. But just because you prophesy don't make you a prophet. Just because you sing don't make you a singer. I've heard some people that think they're singer. They ain't no singer. They kill roaches with their voice. They're hundreds of miles away. Bad. See, so just because you can step into an office doesn't mean you are that office. And that's what I did when I built Covenant Church, which is the local outreach of my ministry. I am not a pastor, because you see, I'm not too much on counseling. I have a 3-point criteria when you counsel with me. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Now get out of here. Now you see, that don't work too well in the pastorship. But I'm least honest about it. I had a man come in my office one time, mad as a hornet, man. Screaming in the house, took a gun, pulls the gun out. Now I'm used to guns because I live on the streets of New Orleans. I know people with guns. You understand? It's part of our culture. He said, I'm going to blow my brains out. I said, well, don't do it in here. I just put new carpet. Bless God, what's the matter with you, fool? And I open up the back door. I said, blow your stinking brains out there. I'll call the ambulance and get me a fire hose and wash your blood off. Enjoy your place in hell. Have a nice day. He busted out crying. You're not going to stop me? I said, yeah, I'm stopping you from doing it on my carpet. Go on, do it out there on that sidewalk. Serious as I can be. You can tell I wasn't pastor. I knew he didn't have the guts to blow his brains out. He just needs some attention. Because you see, you say you can kill. No, I've seen killers. I've been around killers. I know a killer when I see it. Oh, come on, don't insult my intelligence. When you live on the streets, now listen, we make you an offer, you don't refuse. You understand? I know the muscle side of a family and the administrative side of it. Come on. So I just looked at him. I said, you couldn't kill nobody, but much less yourself. And I said, get your ugly self in here. He come in, I said, put the gun down. Put the gun down. I laid hands on him. I said, I cast this demon of killing in his life. Cut out. That crazy devil went, I'm out. I said, you ain't out. I also know a devil when I see it. Well, we got that boy fixed up, and he's still going to church today. Now, some people say, well, supposing he'd have killed himself. I'd have done exactly what I said. I called the police and said, listen, he killed himself on the side because I didn't want him to blow his brains out on my carpet here. Now, I know that sounds hard. Hey, but I didn't know the man. Don't look at me weird. That's the kind of man. You know, God's working on me. He ain't finished yet. You know, because I was raised up, you don't show emotion, you know, you shake a man's hand. Kathy brought me to a church and a man tried to hug me. How you doing, brother? Get your ugly hand off me, boy. What you mean I'm out doing? What kind of church is this? Kathy said, they hug. I said, he ain't hugging me. And he ain't hugging you neither. He hug himself. I didn't know. See, when you don't know, you don't know. But the Lord's been working with me, and I'm doing a lot better. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, and I don't know why I said that to you. Yeah, it's coming now. I see. I wonder why. Praise God. You know, I hit a ball, and then I go catch it myself. I'll come back to the plate. See, you don't understand my process. I know exactly what I'm doing. I got you laughing, then I got this sword of the Spirit going, quick out. You go, oh, gee, what was that? It's kind of like a dentist. He's about ready to hit you with that needle. He's going like this. You're going, what's the matter? Bam! And he hit you. What was that? Got your mind off of just now. It's like a magician. But this, you're looking at this hand, but this hand's doing it. Sleight of hand. So, you know, we got this boy saved. He's still going to church. Then I saw him not too long ago. He lives in Houma, Louisiana. He said, man, when you told me to blow my brains on the sidewalk, I said, no, I'm not. I ain't doing that at all. He said, I was coming looking for some compassion. You say, but that word was not in your vocabulary that day. Well, I was having a hard day that day, so I shouldn't have done. This was years ago. I've grown a lot since then. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 3. Are you there yet? Some of y'all still looking for it. I know it's in there somewhere. Verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? Now, intellectual activity is starting to take place in Moses. Range and research is starting to take place in Moses. Induction and reasoning is starting, because he's seeing something burning that's not burning. And when the Lord saw, notice that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Or if you watch the Ten Commandments, it's like, Moses, Moses. How many of y'all remember? That's good. You know who was that voice? Charlton Heston. Charlton Heston was the voice of God, and it was Moses. Just thought I'd tell y'all that. Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And then he said this. He said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thy standest is holy ground. So wherever God is, the ground gets holy. Would you write that down? So if God is in you, then you're walking in holy shoes, or you should be. Verse 6 is where I want to get to. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God always tells you who he is. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I want to go back to that generations there. He says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When I saw that in the scripture, something began to turn inside of me. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. the God of family. God is interested in family. But yet these three different family members have totally different cultures or different ways of doing things. Now, one thing I do in my ministry, one of the most important departments of my ministry is the prayer department. People calling in, writing in on the, emailing or internet, however they do all that stuff, plus writing letters. And I get a copy of every prayer request. It's put up on my desk. It's pretty thick, but it goes there. And I flip through that page and there's names. And I begin call, I do this personally, call their names out and pray and begin to see. Now, we have quite an extensive mailing list, you know, literally all over the world. And God has been gracious and good to us. He's blessed us and people support us. And we thank God for that because 100% of it goes into God's work because we're all debt free and it's a blessing. But the thing I'm trying to get is the devil don't have no new tricks. What he's doing in England, he's doing in Fort Worth. I found he's spread pretty thin. He don't really have any new ideas at all. And he's doing exactly the same thing in Seattle that he's doing in Miami because I got people writing me from Seattle and people writing me from Miami or whatever. Exact same problems. I mean, almost to the T, like as if they would know each other. Then I realized that the devil's stretched pretty thin. That he can't do all the work that he wants to do. That he's got every demon on assignment. He's got every imp he can find. But still, that's not enough because people are still getting saved. So what now he's done, he's now starting to interview in the church for people who will work for him. Now, Dr. Dollar was a little serious last night, so I'm going to get a little serious. I get funny after a while, but hang on, praise God. Let me get this into it. So he realizes, I cannot accomplish all my work. The time's short. So I'm going to get some of the Christians to do it for me. And if you look in the book of Revelation, there's one of the churches has a seat. Satan has a seat in the church. And it could be on the platform. Or it may be in the first pew. So now he's interviewing people. It's kind of like an old joke I heard one time. This man was going to a masquerade party and he went as the devil. I mean, he dressed up one in devil suits, and I mean a thunderstorm coming. Brother Copeland called him frog strangling range, you know. I mean bad. And he just killed his car, killed, you know, the water and everything. And man, he's in his devil suit and he didn't know what to do. And he said, "My, I know what I'm gonna do." So he sees this little church out there and he said, "I'm gonna run and get, you know, get out this thing." I mean, the water was running. So he come running in that church and ran into the vestibule, a little small church, and people turned around, saw him, and went the screaming and the holler and ran out the church in the rain. Except one old lady, boy, who could barely walk. She said, "Don't hurt me, Mr. Devil. I've been on your side for 40 years. So, you know, she was interviewed and got the job. So, now God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy. Take off the shoes from off thy feet, for the ground you stand on is holy ground." So when I saw I am the God of thy father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord, the title of this message is the God of superheroes, regular Joes, and slick willies. I won't deal with that tonight. The God of superheroes, the God of regular Joes. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the God of superheroes. Because in those prayer requests, there are a lot of people crying out to me saying, "I trusted this preacher. And he failed me." We found out he'd been running around and been stealing money and been sleeping here and sleeping there. And he ain't sleeping where he's supposed to be sleeping. And it really hurt me. And yet, he still has power. He still has money. He's doing no more television. People just say, "Well, praise God, go on about it." No, how can that be? When, now this is coming from the people. And I think as ministers of the gospel, we should be able to answer these questions. Instead of saying, "Well, I don't know." Bible said, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, he give it to you." So we have to answer those things. Because, I mean, this is serious business. Because some people are walking away from God because of the way the ministry is operating in certain places. See, things that are happening. And I know God said in the last days, it wasn't the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall come. So there was only 8 righteous people, and none of them believed anything Noah said. See what I'm saying? But yet there were some problems in Noah's family that he never really figured before the flood, and it manifested after the flood and caused all kinds of trouble. So, you know, we have to answer this. If Jesus said you're clean, then Jesus said it to his disciples, "Now are you clean through the word of God?" I don't want to get too long on that. So when I saw these prayer requests, and they named names, and they didn't name names, but I'm just saying, and crying, I want to know, and Lord Jesus, help me. Because, you know, their faith was in that individual. And how can people get healed when this guy is a homosexual? How can people get healed when this guy's stealing money, sleeping with the piano player, sleeping with the guitar player, sleep with anybody, and going more on television, buying this, buying that. And here you are, you're serving God, you're in a church, or you love the Lord, you're beating your brains out to pay the light bill in your church, you're living holy and just seem like, Lord Jesus, why? God, what is these things? So let's deal with that today. I want to try to answer that to the best of my ability. So he says, moreover, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now write this down. Interviews with God need much preparation. When you go have an interview with God, you better prepare yourself, because you're coming up to someone you have no idea of the knowledge of God. So interviews with God need much preparation. What that means is you need more than intellectual curiosity. Write that down. You need more than intellectual curiosity. What I'm saying is this. If you want to know something from God and you want to get it directly from His mouth, it's going to take more than intellectual curiosity. And you better be prepared, because you're coming up to the Most High God. And you have that right, because He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. And I love what Brother Jairus preaches, the throne of favor. So He's not the judgment, it's the throne of favor, the throne of grace. He's trying to help you. But He is a God that judges also. Just like you love your family, but there comes a time when you have to discipline your children. Yeah, you don't like it, and if you do, something wrong with you. You see what I'm saying? Nobody likes it, but love in its purest form is discipline. So, interviews with God need much preparation. You need more than just intellectual curiosity. I want to put that as a foundation here. So, here comes Moses. He says, I will turn and see this great sight. See, that's intellectual curiosity. That's induction and reasoning. That's range and research. Why is that bush not being burnt? He don't realize the bush is going to talk. He ain't got that. He's just thinking, Lord, something on fire out there. What is that? Wait a minute. Why is it not being consumed? See, that's intellect. See, he's right ready to have an interview with God. What he's about ready to find out is his destiny and his destination. And all of a sudden, God says, and he defines himself, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham. So let's deal with the God of Abraham, the God of a superhero. What makes a superhero? He calls those things that be not as though they were. Here's a man who is 75 years old and about ready to retire. And his wife is 10 years, she's 65, and the law says, get up out of your house, leave this place, don't take any family, and go to a place where I will show thee. Now, you got to understand something. He didn't tell him where he was going. He just told him to start walking. Now, it takes strong faith to believe that, because at the time that God said that to Abraham, he was not Abraham, father of a multitude. He was Abram, a heathen from Iraq. I think that's where that place was, up in that general area, Iraq, where Abraham came out of, whatever the name of the Hebrew name of, in that general area. And he said, what? Then he's got to tell his family, listen, I'm leaving. Where y'all going? We don't know. Now, God expects a superhero to walk by faith and not by sight. Where you going, Ed? I don't know. You mean you're just going to walk out in the desert? That's where we're going. What you going to do when you get out there? I don't know. Are you coming back? No. Well, how are we going to find where you are? Or how can we contact you? I don't know. What making you do this? I heard a voice. You heard a what? I heard a voice. You heard a voice. What did he sound like? God. What God? I don't know. But I got to go. Sarah said, I will follow this man wherever he goes. He goes, I go. Family don't understand that. He said, don't take any of your family. And Abraham's first mess up, he took that boy Lot. You know, that ought to tell you something. Anybody that names somebody after a piece of property is a little strange. They saw that kid. He looked like a piece. He looked like a parcel of land. Let's just call him Lot. You know, it's just kind of strange. Now watch this. The God of Abraham, the God of the faithful, the superhero. Now watch this. What he was doing was, write this down. A superhero's faith goes against tradition and the status quo. See, to become a superhero, Your faith has to go against traditions and the status quo. Or this, we tried that and it didn't work. Well, it doesn't matter whether you tried it or not. Well, who do you think you are? Get ready for criticism. Because see, you're going against tradition and you're going against the status quo. You can't do that. You can't do this. But God says you can. Yeah, but you have no evidence to the fact that it's going to happen. Don't make a difference. God said, go, I go. But where are you going? See, now, like I said, who cares? Why do they want to know to start with? Because they're not going with you. When God told me to go into ministry, I said, I don't know a preacher. He said, but you know me. Now, I don't tell you to do this unless God tells you to do this. So I just quit my job. I came home. I said, Kathy, I'm going into ministry. She said, you don't know nobody. I said, yeah, but I know God. And he told me to go. She said, okay, where are we going? I said, I don't know. Then I looked at a yellow phone on the wall. I said, ring. And it rang. And it was a man had been fasting and praying for 3 days. And he was a wonderful man named Brother Garrison from Lake Charles, Louisiana. He said, Brother Jesse? I said, yes, sir. How you do it? And I hadn't talked to this man in, God, what, 10 years, 12, 15 years? Just a long time. He said, I was praying, and the Spirit of God called, talked to me and told me to ask you, would you come to my church on a Friday night? This was Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I said, let me check my calendar. I didn't even have a calendar. I didn't know what to do. I said, you mean tomorrow night? He said, yes. I said, I'll be there. He said, fine. I said, Kathy, we are in the ministry. She said, okay. And that's how it started. Now, my mother-in-law, everybody, my dad said, boy, you don't quit your job, you're going to starve. I said, Daddy, you're the one that told me to live by faith. He said, I know I said that. But don't get crazy. I said, well, Daddy, I heard the voice of God. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Are you real sure? I said, have you ever heard the voice of God, Daddy? He said, yeah. I said, were you sure? He said, yeah. I said, then what are you questioning me for? I'm going. But you got a great job. I said, I'm going. And I went. And the first service I preached, I booked 7 revivals. After the service, 7 pastors came up to me and said, would you come preach at my church? I said, when? He said, what are you doing Sunday? I said, nothing. I just went full-time ministry yesterday at 3 o'clock. That's exactly what I said. He said, well, after you finish with him, would you come to me? I said, yes, I would. So they all got in line. I said, y'all got a calendar? They said, you don't have a calendar? I said, I just went to full-time ministry. I don't know what I'm doing. Get me a piece of paper. I wrote down, and I booked 7 weeks. And within 7 weeks, I was booked for a year. And then from the year, I've been booked, my Lord Jesus, till the rapture. I cannot go everywhere God wants me to. I mean, if people write me. I don't mean that arrogant. Just, see, I had to go against my traditions and my status quo. Because they said, yeah, but you don't know nobody. I know I don't know nobody. But I knew God. Now, you got to know God. See, when you know the voice of God, if somebody can talk you out of stopping the voice of God in you, oh, you're not as strong as you think you are. See, so Abraham, his faith made him go against traditions and the status quo. Now, notice this. That doesn't mean I never had temptations, tests, and trials, because when I went preaching, I didn't know anything about money. I remember a lady gave me $10. No, yeah, she gave me $10 from a Sunday through Sunday. She said, now, that's your food allowance, and we're not going to give you any more. I said, okay. She said, if you go to Popeye's and buy a Coke, they'll give you a free biscuit. A true story. Now, you got to understand, so I was making money like hand over fist when I was living for the devil. But when I went to work for God, oh, Jesus, it got bad. So I thought, well, they said, you have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I said, is that in the Bible? He said, yeah. I said, well, I'll do that. And I didn't know any difference. And when you don't know, when you're not raised around that, you didn't know. And they said, you can stay in that that Sunday school room on that army cot. I said, fine. Now, you're going to have to get up early because, you know, they got 9 o'clock service for the kids. Okay. I never said a word. I never once complained. I didn't make any difference. I come home. Kathy said, well, how was it? I said, it was great. She said, how come your neck's like this? I said, I slept on an army cot. She said, army cot? They didn't give you a bed? I said, well, they gave me an army cot. She said, what's that rash on you? I said, didn't have no sheets. I said, but Kathy... And I just forgot. I said, you should have seen people. They just really enjoyed it. See, I didn't know I was having it bad. I was walking by faith. Now, you got to understand, I had made a lot of money in my life before, and money didn't give me any happiness, so I knew not to go back to that. That's crazy. But literally, I didn't know nothing about sowing and reaping until somebody gave me a Kenneth and Gloria Copeland tape.
Yeah, from a John Osteen Thanksgiving convention. Somebody said, I said, Lord, I like this guy. You know, he can eat. Superhero. I said that to say this. A superhero, his disappointments purify his faith instead of destroying it. Want to know if you're a superhero? When temptation, tests, and trials come, are you purified or are you destroyed? Think about that. This is the God of an Abraham. So his, and I want to do a little teaching tonight without getting too crazy and wild here. So when temptation, tests, and trials came to me, instead of destroying me, it purified me. They said, you know, you're having a hard time. I said, uh-huh. I've ran out of gas on the road, blessed God, and prayed, God help me. Lord Jesus, I mean, I would stop and people and sinners would help me. And all kinds of stuff. And I was being tested, but the most wonderful thing was I was passing the test. Now, most people say, oh, you can't do that, man. You mean you're going to ministry. You know, I got to provide for my family. I had a wife. I had a daughter. I knew I had to provide for my family. I always been a hardworking man. That's not the issue. But I knew God said so. I said, God, this is completely against the way anybody builds a ministry. Do you have a business card? No. Do you have a newsletter? No. Do you have any tapes? Well, I got some rock tapes if y'all want some of that. No. I have a Bible. That's it? I said, I think that's all I need. Because if I got a Bible, I'll get the tapes. If I got a Bible, I'll get the sheets. Now, I didn't know that at that time because I was studying. I was just glad that God would call me. So, I mean, people gave me hard times. But instead of it destroying me, it purified me. Yeah, I had one guy say, I came to preach. And he said, we're fasting this week. I said, oh, this is a forced fast. I said, okay. So we didn't eat the whole week. I came home. Kathy said, you lost weight. I said, I ain't eat yet. She said, when's the last time you eat? I said, last Sunday. She said, they didn't feed you? I said, there's fasting. She said, you hungry? I said, if a dog walked by, I'd bite his ear off. Yeah, I'm hungry. I was hungry, man. But I didn't know. And at the end of the week, he took an offering every night, said, it's all going to Brother Jesse. And then at the end of the night, on Friday night, he shook my hand and said, God bless you. We'd love for you to come back. Stupid me. I said, when? I didn't know. I said, I'll come back next year if you like. See, I didn't know that you were supposed to receive an offering. I didn't know. I just preaching because the Lord called me. So Kathy said, did they give you an offering? Because she hadn't gone to church more than that. I said, no. They didn't give you nothing. I said, they gave me a Dr. Pepper. She said, well, at least you wasn't thirsty. But I tell you, my tongue went to the bottom of that Dr. Pepper can because I drank it all and then I just licked the inside of it. Lord, I was hungry. Wasn't funny in this day. It was tough. So what does a superhero do? His disappointments purify him instead of destroy him. There are a lot of people wanting to be in the ministry. They got to have $100,000 a year salary. Nothing wrong with that. That's not the issue. But what are you willing to do for God? And what are you willing to let God do for you? So now watch this. Now, see, I didn't have a problem because I never thought of my future being bad. When you're a superhero, God's will, write this down, God's will was so strong in Abraham that the future had no risk for him. Write that down. See, when you're a superhero, the future has no risk for you. I have no risk at all. Lord, God, what's up? Doug buys my television time. I'll never forget he flew to New Orleans. He said, well, bless God, we're going to start this thing. I don't know if Doug remembers this. I hope I say this complete right. We were in our little boardroom there. This is before we built this other complex we have now. Make a long story short, me and Kathy are sitting there. He said, what you want to do? I said, let's go on ABC, CBS, NBC. We're going to do some Fox. Well, you know, we're trying to go around. And Doug said, well, now how long do y'all want to? Y'all want to believe God for about a year, 18 months, something like that, I think it was, you know, to get this all paid for? And me and Kathy said, 2 weeks. And Doug goes, oh, I know what he was thinking. Lord Jesus, he'd been listening to them Copeland tapes again. Lord. I said, 2 weeks, be fine with us. 2 weeks, it'll be paid for. Doug said, I like it, Doug. Then he goes, oh, no. He said, praise God, that's what y'all want to do. We're going to believe by faith. I said, 2 weeks. The only time in my life that my ministry's magazine was ever late was the first week because we had made this big display that we were going on secular television, blah, blah, and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, it's late. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God is my witness. So, we went on television that Sunday. Nobody knew we was on television because the magazine was late, everything was late. All of a sudden, then they got it about after we was on Sunday. They got it like on a Wednesday, finally, or Thursday, finally came in. So they knew we were on the next Sunday. So that's 14, from Sunday to Sunday is 8 days, and the other Sunday would be 16 days or 2 weeks. Come 2 weeks, and Doug is my witness, we paid cash for the whole ball of wax, the whole thing. Now, someone said, tell Doug what station you put Jesse on, because boy, them are some producing stations. Lord, get us on those stations. And Doug said, y'all better know God told you to do this, because he's going to eat your lunch if you don't. And it's been like that ever since. I mean, God has blessed us. Now, that's going against it. I didn't have a risk. Why? Because I wanted to be an Abraham. I wanted to be a superhero. Now, watch this. When you understand it, God's will was so strong in him that the future had no risk for him. Now, what Abraham was receiving was revelations. Write this down. Revelations are for the observant. God will give you eye guidance, but you must be alert to catch his glance. Let me tell you something. As you grow old in the Lord, sometimes he don't talk as loud as he used to when you first got saved. He may just look at you, look at me. He may do this. You better catch that glance. It's kind of like being married for a long time. After you've been married for a long time, your wife can talk to you across a football stadium. She can just look at you. And do that. You go, uh-huh. Or if she does this, you go, oh, Jesus. I mean, there's language going across. Now listen to it. Revelations are for the observant. God will give you eye guidance, but you must be alert to catch his glance. And God was doing that to Abraham, but he messed up over the Hagar girl. You see, because he's just a human. Because his wife got discouraged. She said, I ain't having a baby. Something ain't right. So I want you to go in there, and that's my bondservant Hagar, and give her a baby. We're going to call it ours. Abraham said, I'm going to do this for you, Sarah. Normally I wouldn't, but I'm going to do this for you. Now, normally you don't get pregnant on the first time, usually. I wonder how many times Sarah came to Abraham and said, you think she's pregnant? No! I think we need about 20 more times. I think that's what we need here. Are you sure? Yeah, you know, we'll see, Sarah. We'll let you know. And then God did not speak to him for 13 years. Because he didn't catch the eye glance. God wanted him to believe that through him and Sarah, would all the world, nations of the world would be blessed. But he had other things on his mind. So, what is a superhero? A superhero goes against tradition and status quo. His disappointments purify him instead of destroy him or her. God's will is so strong in him or her that the future has no risk for them. Plus, revelations are for the observant. God will give you eye guidance, but you must be alert to catch his glance. In other words, you have to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you're not sensitive, you can miss the whole ball of wax, man. What you're believing for will go right by you if you're not sensitive. And as you grow old in the Lord, God gives you opportunities and things. But sometimes he don't holler at it like it used to get real loud. It may be just a little quick like that. And you must be careful to know, keeping your eyes on him instead of what you want to do. Now, and I'm going to come back on this in a minute. I want to deal now with the God of regular Joes, the God of an Isaac. Isaac's the kind of guy, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. He's not too interested in his boy. He likes one boy more than the other. He comes from a superhero, but he's a regular Joe. He was a little strange. He was a little timid. See, Isaac's understanding of God is quiet, meditative, and almost timid. Really, he was kind of wimpish. He was a wimp. I mean, you got to understand, the boy couldn't even find his own girlfriend. Some people need some help. His daddy said, I'll go get you a girl. He gets this girl named Rebecca who looked good, brings him to Isaac. Lord Jesus, Isaac takes her and goes, hi. Takes her to his mama's tent and starts crying. Would you marry a boy like that? They don't look like there's much future in that. 40 years old too. Mama gone. He's the God of a regular Joe. In other words, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I got a church of 300. I'm doing fine. Everything's paid. It don't shake up. And it don't, you know, rustle anybody's feathers. Everything don't going good. Oh, yeah. But you see what's going to happen? Trouble is brooding down the line because you're not willing to make a stand for what God wants in your life. Now, listen to it. So Isaac is known in the Bible as the fear of Isaac. You see, and he's also prejudiced. He likes one of his boys, and he likes the other. Now, Esau was some man of a man. He was a hunter. He had a bad problem with body odor. You could smell that boy in the desert. You could smell him everywhere, you know. In fact, Isaac was blind as a bat. He said, and when he said, Esau must be here. You've met people like that. You know when they come through the room. You don't have to see them. They go, oh, Jesus, George is here. I was in Africa one time praying. And this guy said, I want you to pray for me. And he lifted his hands up, like to knock me down. I said, put your hand down, boy. He said, I want to lift my hands and praise God. I said, do it like this. Just do it like this. Son, I couldn't think. That boy body odor almost knocked me down. Then one man came up to me and says, I need prayer. I have bad breath. I said, boy, that's the truth, son. You got bad breath, Lord Jesus. I wanted to get one of them flushing. And that boy, bad. Then I had one guy come up to me and say, would you pray for me? You ain't going to believe this. This is a true story. He said, would you pray for me? I said, what's your problem? He said, I have gas. I said, yeah, I'll pray for you over here. Get over here. Pray for you. I said, touch him, Jesus. Touch him. Do you remember that guy? I'm trying to pray for people, and this boy going, thank you, Jesus. Just going down the line. Thank you, Jesus. And there was people like this saying, I come back on the second line. I just come back on the second line. That's a true story. Am I telling the truth? Kathy was there. It ain't easy being a preacher. Had to put a little humor in that. I had a man and a woman coming to me at the time and said, we want a baby. I said, well, I'll pray. And I put my hand. She said, it's not me. He's the one got the problem. I looked at him. He said, oh, Lord Jesus, what do we do now? And then behind him was a guy that was 16 years old that was 7'8". And behind him was people that was 3'9". That was the strangest church I've ever been in my life. From giants to dwarfs. And I prayed for those two beautiful people, and they fell out and their little legs went up in the air like that. Then the night behind them was a woman in a wheelchair, and she was mad. She said, I'm going to get out of this wheelchair, and if I have any pain, I'm going to blame you. Remember that? I said, get out of the wheelchair. And this man, the son said, you don't know my mama. She will blame you. She will say it a lot. I said, get out the wheelchair. She got out and had no pain. God healed her. And that woman wasn't even saved, but she saw something working in that service. And she said, I'm going to get out of this wheelchair. That woman had the potential of being a superhero. And she didn't have no pain. So, the God of Isaac, the God of a regular Joe, revelations are not for cowards. You notice that Isaac never got much revelations. You know, he just had the family. He didn't know what was going on. He that hears God's voice must fight to overcome fears. Why? Or he will be classed with the unbelieving. That's the problem with the regular Joe. God speaks to him. He gets into fear over, my God, we can't build that. We can't do that. Let's just leave well enough alone. Everything's working. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Lord Jesus. No. Revelations are not for cowards. He that hears God's voice must fight to overcome fears, or he will be classed with the unbelieving. I've preached for a lot of people that were classed in the unbelieving. They said, we're believing God, but they're going to cancel out everything they're going to say. I said, well, you're not believing God. You just destroyed it with that conjunction. Yeah, but you don't understand. See, they're trying to get me to agree with their failure, to agree with their doubt, and I can't do that if you're trying to get something done for God. I can't agree with your doubt, because then you got two people doubting, you'll never receive from God. And that's the problem with Isaac, see? Isaac was just kind of wimpish, you know? And it was called the fear of Isaac, you know? And he loved one boy and the other. Don't ever do that with children. You love them all the same. You understand what I'm saying? Because, buddy, you're going to cause... You're going to have problems like the Middle East. That's still going on, all because of that stuff. That carries on for generations and generations. You see what I'm saying? That happened in my family. I mean, you know, I have an older brother. I'm the middle son. I have a younger brother, the youngest brother, and I have a sister. There's four of us. So my mama never worried too much about me at all because I didn't want to be around. You understand? My brother was always in trouble. My younger brother was in trouble. There was always me. I made sure I didn't get caught. I was slick. I wouldn't get caught. My brother get caught. I mean, I'm the only one in my family ain't been to jail. We have the most dysfunctional family that's ever been on the face of the earth. I have hookers in my family. We've got preachers in my family, got murderers in my family, homosexuals in my family. I'm telling you what, they could do a movie on our family. It's the most amazing thing. But here's the difference in our family. Our family, our love is perfected. In other words, you better not say nothing about any of us because you're going to have a fight on your hand. Now, we can say whatever we want, but no one else could. You understand what I'm saying? It's the way it was. Like, growing up, I can say this because he's dead now. I had an uncle that was sweet. Really a nice person, but he lived sweet. And he was the youngest of the children of my grandfather. His name was Mac. Uncle Mac. Now, I was only about, he was only 4 or 5 years older than I was, maybe 6 years older. And he would talk, hi. And he said, I take care of the kids, which is us. I said, Mama, come here. I said, we don't want Uncle Mac taking care of us. She said, why? I said, he's sweet, Mama. She said, what do you mean, sweet? I said, I ain't talking Hershey here. I'm talking sweet, Mama. I'm 6 years old myself. I'm six, but I can see that. I said, Mama, I don't want it. She said, don't you say that about your Uncle Bart. I said, all of y'all are blind to this fact. So he said, Jesse, you got such pretty hands. I said, Uncle Mac, go over there. Now you can imagine a little 6-year-old boy. Go over there, Uncle Mac. So I realized that I had to take care of the situation because Mama wouldn't take care of the situation. So I took my little bow and arrow with the little blue stopper. And I took the blue stopper off and I shaved that baby with a knife. And I said, Uncle Mac! And he looked up and I shot that arrow and I cut his head from here to here. He ran out the house and said, oh, Jesus! Oh, Jesus! I said, he gonna need Jesus for sure. True story. God help us. Uncle Mac never took care of us again. So when we'd have a family reunion, it's the funniest thing you ever seen in your life. Man, my hooker cousins would come in. I mean, these were prostitutes. Hey, are y'all done? Hey! Well, I mean, they smell that perfume. You're choking. They say, this is since I'm a preacher. How the Rev doing? Hey, Rev, what's up? And then every once in a while, the police would let out some of my cousins was on, you know, up in prison for murder. They let them come and eat because daddy knew the sheriff, you know, and grandpa knew the sheriff. And so we had to eat with the cops who we didn't know. They just watch over him like that. I am not kidding you. So they'd come. And then finally, Uncle Mac come walking and go, oh, everybody's here. I say, oh, yeah, everybody's here, Uncle Mac. Glory to God. But you know what? Mama got them all saved before they died. All of them in heaven today because somebody went against the status quo. Mama was not a regular joke. She got them saved. All right, we could say anything we want about her, but no one else could. That's the way it was. Because you got to understand something. I have black people in my family. Look at some of the people. I have white people in my family. I have Hispanic people in my family. Listen, when my ancestors got here, they've been on that boat a long time. They marry anybody to get their hands on. You understand? It didn't make no difference. They didn't care if you didn't have no teeth. I don't care. So it's not, and I tell you what, so when I go over there, I go over to the family, I go over to the black side. I say, hey, what's up? What's up, dog? Hey. What's going on there, baby? How you doing? Hey, all right. Can they kind of walk like that? I go over to the white side. That's the funny one. They go,
hadn't seen you since the last funeral. How you been?
I'm doing fine. The Hispanic one's the funniest one, man, because they do most of the cooking. I say, well, how y'all doing? I tell y'all, I ain't making no more tacos no more. I'm making no more tacos. I done. It's the funniest thing you ever seen in your life. I told Kathy when she was dating, I said, you got to see my grandpa. He looked like the first vampire in the first movie. Am I telling the truth? Had them long fingernails. She said, "Are you lying?" I said, "I ain't lying. You want to see him?" She said, "Yeah." He weighed 66 pounds. He died a miser. He died because he refused to feed himself. He wouldn't spend the money. God is my witness. I'm telling you, this is some strange people. I'm the only one that's not strange. Don't you say nothing, Savelle. Don't you say nothing. Hallelujah. And sure enough, I brought Kathy and I said, "He's behind the door." So Kathy, she's a little 17-year-old girl. She walking. I said, "Kathy, this is my grandpa. This is Eddie Duplantis." He goes, Kathy goes, "Oh, get me out of the door." I am telling you. Now, I'm saying all that because Isaac's family was dysfunctional. Hey, I hit my own ball, I catch it, I run it back to the plate. Jacob and Esau were dysfunctional. Isaac was dysfunctional. Jacob's a mama's boy, Esau is a daddy's boy. And they're building that stuff between them. And yet God's trying to tell him what he wants to do even at the birth. But Isaac, too blind, he can't see nothing. And he said, "Listen, Esau, don't go marry them girls over there, man. Esau said, "I'm going to marry them anyway, daddy." Now, Jacob's got enough sense to know that his daddy got some money and he needs that birthright. See, it's dysfunctional. All kinds of different things are going on in this family. Mama saying one thing, daddy saying a thing. Mama saying bass, daddy saying tenor. You know, that kind of stuff. Nobody ever coming together, making a quartet. You understand what I'm saying? It ain't happening. And we got struggles today over that. That's a God of a regular joke. Now, you see, God can't give a meeting like... God couldn't give a building this size to a regular Joe. Why? He would never fill it. He surely can't give it to a Slick Willie because he'll sell it. I'm going to get on him in a minute. He can only give it to a superhero. You see my point. So your past experiences must yield strength for the present. See, if Isaac would have learned on his past failures, he wouldn't have failed as much as he did. See what I'm saying? But he caused dysfunction in the body of Christ and in God's plan for you today. Because he refused to stand up and say what his father said. "Listen, we are people of faith." He would say, "Look, man, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let's don't stir up nothing here." Now, let me deal with this third part. The God of Slick Willies. The God of Jacob. Now, listen to this. The God of Jacob. Never let your understanding of God come from the school of sin, or you will walk with a limp all the days of your life. The problem with Jacob, he's a Slick Willie. He's a wheeler dealer. "Hey, what's up?" He said, "I'm feeling here, man." He said, we're going to do something for the ministry, but really his motive is to do something for himself. You see, he's a Slick Willie. Now, you got to remember, a superhero can become a regular Joe. A regular Joe can become a Slick Willie. A Slick Willie can become a superhero. A superhero can become a Slick Willie. God does not interfere with your will. But those three classifications are there. And that's what we're seeing today in this last day and hour. Now, listen to it. The God of Jacob, the God of the double nature, the God of the Slick Willie. Revelations are not for the foolhardy. It is only when God is with man that he can walk through the fire and not be burned. The only time that Jacob runs to God is when he's in major trouble. Esau's going to kill him, but see, he's got to cross Jabbok. He's got a problem. Esau's coming to kill him. In other words, his past failures will come to his face. There will come a time when you will pay what you sow. It will happen. God says, "Be not deceived. I'm not mocked. What you sow, you're going to reap. Maybe not today. Maybe not next week. Maybe not next year. But the day will come when the Slick Willie will stand before someone who wants him and wants him bad." You see what I'm saying? So never let your understanding of God, the understanding Jacob had of God, was always at the school of sin. Listen, school of sin, or you will walk with a limp all the days of your life. He figured, listen, if God leaves, I'm dead. So he fought with the Lord and just hung on and wrestled with God. So God had to touch the hollow of his thigh. It shrank. But he needed God because somebody was coming to take his head off. You see what I'm saying? Maybe not then, not now. You got to understand something. He works 14 years for one girl because he Slick Willies, they don't cover all bases. He falls in love with a girl named Rachel. But since he's a Slick Willie, the guy that he's working for is a Slick Willie. Slick Willies produce Slick Willie deals. He said, "You can have Rachel." But the stupid fool, he didn't turn on the light. And the next morning, he got the ugly sister. Now, that ain't her fault, and she has to pay the price of that silliness herself. Leah, yet God blessed Leah. But he loved Rachel so much, I'll work another 7 years for you. See what I'm saying? So his deals begin to go against him too. But it's all, yet God can make him in Israel. And he has all the talent in the world. See, a lot of these people that are preaching today are in sin, they're slick willies. They got talent, ladies and gentlemen. But a reckoning is coming. And I want you to see this. And I never could understand why. Well, let me just make it plain. I thought God was prejudiced against women. There were three people came out to deliver the nation of Israel. That was Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. All three of them died within 6 months of each other. All three of them, none of them made it to the promised land. Some gave up slavery. Others gave up the halls of the king and the pharaohship. Now, Moses had a problem with anger, had a problem with temper. It got him in trouble. God had to purify him, trying to make him a superhero. He messed up because he refused to talk because he stuttered. So God had to bring his brother, Aaron. Now, every time Miriam messed up, the Lord ate her lunch. She got thrown out the camp because she was prejudiced. She's mad because Moses married a black woman. He's having a fit about all that. And you don't talk against the man of God. And so he said, you want to be white? I'm going to make you Snow White. And he made her Snow White. And your brother's a little dwarf. I want to let you know something. Out the camp she went. Now, Aaron, he's a wimp, but he never gets judged. Moses come down the mountain and he studied. He go, ha, ha, ha. How did that cow get there? And Aaron said, I don't know, Moses. I just throw gold in a fire and out come a cow. But he never gets judged. This boy doesn't get thrown out the camp. He just keeps going through it. And God makes him the high priest. And I said, Lord, why wouldn't you judge Aaron? Why? He certainly deserved that you judged his sister. You judged his brother. Why? He said, Jesse, he was the high priest. The anointing, write this down, the anointing was protecting him. But the day came, ladies and gentlemen, it's in Numbers. It's one of the worst passages of the Bible. Numbers 20, it's 23 to 25. You can go read it. Where God told Moses, take Aaron up Mount Hor. Now watch this. Time had come. Payday at the house of God. And then God said this. Moses, because you struck that rock, you are not going to enter into it. But see, Moses repented, but I don't see where Aaron ever repented on nothing. He just kind of flowed around. You know, he had the vestments on. He had all the, all the preeminence. But then God did something that amazed me. I said, Lord, why didn't you judge him? But judgment came, Bill. He said, strip him. Take the garments off of him and put them on Eleazar. The minute the high priest's vestments, which was the type of the anointing of God on Aaron, was taken off of him. You can go read it in Numbers. And placed upon Eleazar, Aaron died. Right in front of Israel. Judge, bam, down. There's some of these guys out there, they're making a lot of money, they're doing a lot of stuff, but they're halfway up the mountain. See, the anointing is protecting them. But there will come a time when they will be stripped of their anointing. And before all of you, all of us, because God would have to apologize to Aaron and apologize to others in the scripture. And in front of Israel, I mean right in front of everybody, the Bible said Aaron died. He was buried and the people mourned him. Slick Willy days has an end to him. Now, let me show you something. God gave Samson a phenomenal talent, but he had a problem with women. He liked them Philistine women. He liked them Delilahs. You understand? God said, what's the matter with you, Samson? Well, the day came, you know the story. When he decided to put a woman or put the Philistines' agenda ahead of God's, and they put out his eyes and they put him on a gristmill. Now, you that are watching by television, you listen to me. If you've had a fall, you've had a morality problem. You've had, you just did wrong things financially, morally, and you were taken out of the pulpit. Now, watch this. You just like Samson. What happens is his anointing was in his hair. When you're stripped of the anointing, the devil can kill you, do whatever he wants with you. You see what I'm saying? Now, see, the devil, he can hurt you. But when God takes the anointing from you, you ain't going to live.
It ain't going to happen. That's it. Because that's a very precious thing. Now, you may disagree with this, but let me finish this and see what you think of this. The God of the slick willy. Watch this. So Samson, he's slick, he's doing this, doing that. Finally, he gets his eyes burnt out, and they put him on a grist mill. And he's grinding. And he's grinding. But you know, Samson began to repent. He truly repented in his heart. Lord God, forgive me. Now watch this. His hair began to grow back. He began to feel that anointing coming back on him. See, his hair began to grow. See, repentance makes your hair grow back. Your anointing coming back. But let me tell you something. He's still blind. Now you listen to me. If you're in restoration today, don't you walk back in that pulpit. But see, I know you're ready to go. You're right ready to tell your spiritual father or your pastor. Listen. You better say, listen, I'm going to get my church. I'm going to get me a church because I'm ready. No, 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 no. Let me tell you what's happening with you. You're blind. You understand? You are. Your hair is growing back. Your anointing is coming back. But you are still blind and somebody got to lead you. And if you go out and take that pulpit again and you go back in there and do those things again, you are going to die with your enemies. Now, you listen to me. You see, I know you're feeling that anointing. You're ready to get back in it. But you're just like Samson. Your hair's growing back. That anointing's coming back, but you're still blind. Let me tell you when you go back. Let me tell you when you take your ministry back. It's when your eyes get healed. Then no one will need to lead you. You will see and know and where to go, what to do, and when to do it. Now, you listen to that. See, I understand that some people right now in restoration that I know, they've messed up in morality. They've messed up in money. And you know what? They have submitted themselves to a spiritual father or to a pastor or whatever. And all of a sudden, they're starting to kick against that spiritual father, kick against that pastor. Well, Lord, I tell you what, man, I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and I'm ready to go. No, no. Your hair may be growing back. That's right. You're feeling that anointing. But you are still blind. You need someone to lead you. That's why you still got a spiritual father trying to tell you to help you and a pastor trying to lead you. But if you walk away from that, you're going to die with your enemies. Are y'all enjoying this? You see, this is the answer to why a lot of people get away with a lot of things. The anointing is protecting them. You see, but the day will come when the anointing will be stripped of you. And it's a sad occasion because when it's stripped in front of all the household of Israel. And if you don't think I'm telling the truth, all you got to do is think about the 80s. Because when God stripped the man, Mr. Swaggart, he stripped him from the world. The whole world saw it from top to bottom. Look, God don't play games. And I'm not against Jim Swaggart. I believe he's repented. That's not the issue. Or Jim Baker. And I ain't against any of that. And I'll name names because and I'm the kind of man that will do it on television. Don't make any difference to me because the Bible says Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord shall reward him in his day. Hymenaeus and Alexander, the Apostle Paul spoke that in the scripture. That's not judgment. That is truth coming to pass. Jesus looked at Pharisees and said, you're a snake, you're a hypocrite, and you're a viper. I will say it to your face, and I will also say it to my disciples when you're not around. Because you see, the truth will set you free. So you're not speaking hearsay and you're not talking bad about anyone. What you're doing is speaking truth. And it's time that the body of Christ, bless God, and ministers of the gospel that are of integrity stand up and say, wait a minute, it's time to speak the truth to protect the victims that are being victimized literally all over the body of Christ. Somebody shout, somebody. I know that's strong. But what I'm saying is we have to protect them. Now, that doesn't mean we go beat those people. That doesn't mean you get out there, you want to hurt somebody, because if you do that, then you're in the same position as they are. You should cry and apply mercy, grace, and redemption, but there comes a time when you have to stand up and say, and God will do the exact same thing. He applies mercy, grace, and redemption, but the day will come when you will stand before God, and let me tell you, it's going to be you, God, and a videotape. Now, that is simply the truth. And this is what I'm getting in my offices by the hundreds and sometimes by the thousands. I'm hurt. How do I do? What do I do? And I said, Lord Jesus, you seem like you're blessing them. And know what he's doing is the anointing is so precious and so wonderful that it protects you. But the day you stripped of it, and it will happen worldwide, nationwide, especially in this day and hour with the technology of today. So what are you saying? I'm saying don't be the God of a slick willy. Change. Because Jacob, the slick willy, became Israel. So you can change. But don't forget the Samson thing. I know you feel like, and I may be so good. Thank you, Lord. Some of you are ready to get back. I know you are. Your hair's growing, man. I know it's aggravating. Your hair's growing. You're feeling that anointing. Oh, God, like Samson. He's feeling that strength coming back. My God. So he tells me, get me some, yeah, lead me somewhere. You still blind. And if you have to be led, you will not reach your destiny, or you will not complete your destiny or reach your destination, because you see, you can't see where you're going and you can't see the enemy. Now, when you're ready to get back in there, is when you own that gristmill and that hair growing, you feel all of a sudden your eyes open. And you say, Lord, you get truthful. You say, God, forgive me. Now you've come to understanding. Now God has taken a slick willy and changing him into a superhero. You see, and then if anyone has the gall and the audacity to take out their scuba gear and dive in your sea of forgetfulness to pull up something, all you have to tell them is this: look at my hair and look at my eyes. My hair's grown back, which shows me the favor of God, and my eyes, once I was blind, but now I see. And your ministry will be productive through generations. God forgives and forgets. People will forgive, but they will not forget. I'm telling you, they won't. They keep their scuba gear ready. Because you see, if God starts blessing you, they're going to get jealous. Bless God, I'll never fail. How come God blessing? Then they're going to start bringing stuff up, trying to pull stuff up on you to try to hurt you. When God is saying, no. Now, let me say this in close. God has no favorites, but he is a respecter of faith. With all their weaknesses and sins, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they all had a spirit of faith within them. You know how you know where faith is? Faith always stands out like a mountain on a flat plain. So I have a lot of people come up to me and say, Brother Jesse, I did this and I did that. I say, I forgive you. I love you, man. Hey, I'm on your side, brother. Oh, God, I certainly don't want to harm you. But man, I think I'm ready to go. No, you're blind. How do you know that? Because you had to come talk to me. You're blind. Now, since you came talk to me, listen to me. Because I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you grow in the knowledge of the truth. I don't want you to victimize anybody else. I don't want you to become a victim. I don't want you to die with your enemies. I want your eyes to be healed and your anointing to come strong. And then you will complete your destiny and reach your destination. So the God of a superhero, see, and all of them can change. The superhero can go to Slick Willie. The regular Joe can become. It's all dependent upon what you decide to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you make up your mind to do that, then God will honor you. So I wanted to do this teaching. I felt this so strong because Sister Copeland's preaching on holiness. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said for us to be a holy people. We're not a holy people. We are a prideful, arrogant, egotistical people. I know that because I go to a lot of conventions. I'm not talking about this. I go to a lot of them saying, bless. You know what they ask me, Dennis? How much money are you making, Brother Jesse? They ain't interested in how many souls. My God, how many more television stations you on? And I had one the other day tell me, he said, you know, I beat you. If I named it, you'd be shocked. He said, I beat you. I finally pulled more people than you did. I said, well, I'm so glad. Then you don't have to do that no more. Praise God. What a blessing. That's what's happening out there. And we deem success by how much money we got and how many stations we on and how much money we got in the bank. That ain't success. That is success, but that's not prosperity. Success has a price. Prosperity has a value. What are you willing to pay for success? So I don't mean to be hard or anything, but what I'm trying to help you is that there are too many victims in the body of Christ. But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall come. So I've had some people come up that did commit adultery, messed up bad, got drunk, did drugs, stole money, did everything. But they had a repentant heart. They were like David. Let me tell you how you can tell when someone is totally, completely repentant. When they're willing to leave their throne and go back to the mountain with them bleeding sheep and say, God, thank you for helping me. And you see, that's why God saved David. Because you never heard him say this when Nathan called him. Got to talk to my lawyer. I have nothing to say about that at all. I have to talk to my lawyer. Oh, and if you want me to leave, you got to give me severance pay. You're not repentant. You still got selfishness on your mind. You should have thought of all that before. So if you mess up, that's a Christian also. Be willing to say that. Well, there was a man, he literally got up in front of the whole world and said, I have a problem with this lust thing. He said, it's like a claw in my brain. He spoke it to the world. God, help me, and prayed, believe God. And God elevated his ministry. Why? Because God always deals with the truth. Always. You see, and I'm the kind of man, I will be truthful. You will never misunderstand Jesse the Planet. I told one minister, he said, Jesse, I said, let me tell you what your problem is, man. He said, what? I said, you don't hate sin. He said, yeah, I do. I said, no, you don't. You hate what sin does to you. You hate the wages of sin. You don't hate sin. If you hate something, you don't mess with it. If you hate broccoli, I promise you, you won't eat it. I don't care if an 18-wheeler truck come by with a whole load of broccoli. Won't budge it. Because you hate it, see? And you know why Jesus didn't sin? Because he's the Son of God? No. Because he hated sin. And what you hate, you don't do. What you love is what you do. So the God of a superhero, the God of a regular Joe, the God of a slick Willie. So, you know, God has placed millions and millions of dollars in my hand, Creflo. He's placed millions in your hand. He's placed millions and millions in Brother Creflo and Brother Copeland's and in Jerry's. You know, why? Because he can trust us. Now, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying, what do we do with this, Lord? Instead of saying, praise God. Do you understand my point? And if you notice something about all of us, he honors us, Brother Copeland, by letting us preach at night. But we don't mind preaching in the morning. I mean, all of us, man. Even the head of this ministry comes over here at 9:30 or 10:30 to preach in the morning sessions. It's one of the most amazing things. I told this to Brother Copeland at my house. I don't believe he mind me saying this. He said, Jesse, would you come do 2 weeks of my television? This is a while back. I said, sure. So I went and did it. And I told him, I said, Kenneth, did you know what you did? And you know what he told me? He said, listen, whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to do, just go ahead and do it. Don't worry about it. I trust you. Now, do you know how much money 2 weeks of television is for Kenneth Copeland Ministries? 5 days, daily, weekly. Do you know how much money is being spent? You're talking chunks of money, chunk of change. So in actuality, he gave me that donation. He said, just take my television program, teach what you want, preach what you want, bless God, do the tags, do the open, do the close, and whatever. Praise God. That's it. Now, I didn't think of it. Well, praise God, man. I thought of, this man is, and this woman is putting something in my life that costs tons of money. But yet, the ministry God gave them, they trusted me to minister to their partners and to the world. So I'm certainly not going to break that trust. I'm certainly not going to say this. I thank you for watching Kenneth Copeland Ministries. If you'd like to write him, it's Post Office Box 20149, New Orleans. I mean, excuse me. Write Kenneth Copeland of Fort Worth, Texas. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. It's called slipping and sliding. You know what I'm saying? I don't do those things. I'm a brick in the wall. That's it. Glory to God. And I make up my mind to flow like that. And when I walk in someone's church, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to honor you. And when I host TBN, and I have guests, I say, what do you want to do? Oh, you know, it's your program, but Jesse. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm over here. What do you want to say? What has God have you to say to the world? And I've had hosted some of them, and they'll do this. Brother, the planners, I have a new book. I said, well, that's a blessing. He said, I'll tell you one thing. I said, well, what is God doing for you, brother? It's in the book. If you'd like to get the book, you're writing at such and such place. Now, you know, TBN don't mind you talking about that, but now all of a sudden you keep the book up for 15 minutes. So I get a little note from behind the camera because the camera's over here. He don't see that because the guy's here. And I get this note, tell the fool to put the book down. Now, I am looking at the world and I'm going, praise God, I want to say, read that sign. So I say, let me see that book. Yeah, that's a nice book, brother. I said, that's such a blessing because I know they're just trying to get this baby somebody to buy it. So I'll put it on the table like that. And I said, well, brother, before we go off the air, would you like to say something to somebody? He reached back to the book and said, it is in the book. He ain't been back. You know why? Because his agenda and his motive was wrong. He's a slick Willie.
It's just simply the truth. See, trying to produce himself when they gave him the honor of being a blessing. So you have to realize, why do you do what you do? It all has to do with one thing, motive. Now, normally I don't preach like this, you know what? I usually do. I'm a screamer, but I wanted to get this because there's too many Slick Willies, and there's too many regular Joes, and there's not enough superheroes. Get it? You understand? Yeah. So, if you got a big church, thank God, but don't be satisfied. If you got a small church, thank God, but don't be satisfied. Complete your destiny. Reach your destination and be proud of what God has called you to do. Be proud of what God has called you to do. So, I may preach at Bishop Butler's Church in Detroit. That's a big church. Beautiful place. I may go over to Creflo Dollar Church. I like preaching for Creflo. Lord Jesus, praise God. He just said, well, he said, the church is yours. Okay. Just whatever, Jesse. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And you know, people ain't going to get that pulpit. You got to understand, that's a trustworthy. You don't get in there and do something stupid. You see what I'm saying? So it's an honor when God places you. And then see, because that's a test. See how you'll pass the test. See what his demeanor will be if I throw him up in the worldwide attention. Yeah. And let me tell you something. Some of the greatest ministers in the world, you see him here. But if you ever went back there, I'll never forget the day Brother Copeland walked up to me. I come off that thing, and I don't perspire when I preach. I sweat. I told that to T.D. Jake Sunday. I preached for T.D. I said, T.D., I've always wanted to sweat like you. I ain't never seen a man sweat like T.D. Jake sweat. T.D. Jake can drown you with sweat. Boy, I can't. He sweat through clothes, Lord Jesus. And he come up to me and Kathy after the service and said, pray with me. He said, I need prayer. He said, I want you to pray about this situation, whether I should do this or not. And that's trusting me. I said, Bishop, let's pray now so you know for sure I prayed for you. And I'm still praying concerning this particular situation. That was a blessing. He honored me. I didn't get up there and say, well, I'll tell you one thing, bless God. I got this book. I got this. There's nothing wrong with pushing your stuff. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about that's fine. But what I'm saying is, why are you doing what you're doing? And then God says, we got to categorize this guy. He's either a superhero or her, or a regular Joe, or a Slick Willie. And some of y'all say, well, why don't God give me a big ministry? Because you'll sell it. Why won't he give me a big ministry? Because you won't work it. Why don't he make me a superhero? Because you won't get out of where he tells you to go. Because you think there's a risk. But Brother Copeland's preaching that fear has been abolished. That tells you there is no risk. Amen. Did you enjoy it tonight? Yeah. Give Jesus a hand clap for that. I just want to speak that out of my spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I get no joy when judgment comes to the body of Christ. I get no joy at all. I don't like it when a child is spanked. Even though they may need it. Even though they may not be my child, I go, ooh, ooh. I don't like it when I hear a parent tell that child, no, you're not going to do that. I know that the parent is right. I just wish it. But you see, if you never did discipline the child, if the child turns out to be a murderer, it's not its fault. It's yours. Understand what I'm saying? Yeah, it's yours. So we have a responsibility to the body of Christ. Let's live clean. Let's live holy. And with the Catholic Church's problems today, instead of rejoicing in it, why don't you call the Catholic Church in your area? Because for every bad priest, there are a lot of great priests that love God with all their heart. Why don't you pray? Why don't you call them? That's what I've done. I said, listen, I know y'all going through some tough times now. Now everybody thinks the priest is bad because some priest messed up. No. I'm going to pray for them people. I didn't necessarily have to agree with all the theology they say. But my Lord Jesus, I can help them pray. And I'll also pray with the victim. Don't misunderstand me. You can't get one side. Let me say this in close. I said this the other day. You have to study culture and you have to study people so you can understand why they do what they do. And I said this, Lord, quicken my mind to say it again. When September 11th hit us, 9/11 hit us, let me tell you something. United States has a color barrier. South Africa has a color barrier. You understand? But the terrorists did not attack the African-American or the Hispanic or the white man. They attack Americans. They attack the Americans. See, our enemy thinks we're one. When are we going to become one? They're not attacking these cultures. Let me say it again. God told me to say, when are we going to, if they think we're one, when will we be one? They didn't attack any specific set of people. They attacked America. See, because they think we won. And you know what happened? For just a few weeks, we became one. Democrats, Republicans, singing God Bless America on the street, on the steps. Lord Jesus. Nobody talked about atheism. Nothing. And we didn't condemn atheism. We just came together as Americans. See? Now, that's what we have to keep. But you also have to understand why a black man thinks the way he thinks, why a white man thinks the way he thinks, why a Hispanic man thinks the way he thinks. And what? Yeah, what did I say? Thank you. Why some Christians would vote for a candidate and you just can't understand why he's voting when they are pro-choice and you pro-life? Well, you got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that a lot of black people love America just as much as white people. But you know what? They don't kill their babies. They have their babies. So they're not thinking too much on the abortion line. You know why? Even though they may have unwed mothers, they are going to have them babies. What they want to know is how I feed this baby. How do I educate this baby? How do I help this baby? Now, I'm not saying what's right or what's wrong, and I'm not trying to change your point. What I'm saying is you got to understand the process so you can understand the individual. Because most people, what do you stand for? And then you may vote because this is what you need. And you're not really concerned about the other part of it, which you should be. But I've been around a lot of black people in my life, and I'll tell you what, they have them babies. It's going to be hard to get that black woman to go in that abortion clinic. So if a candidate comes up and says, I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to give you a job, okay. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. What I'm saying is you have to understand why people do what they do. When you understand the process, then you understand them. Then you can work and come together and start thinking like our enemies think and become one. Become one. Because they think we're one. God says we're one. When will you say we're one? See, my uncle made me so mad. He's in heaven today, so I can say that. Me and Kathy got so mad because he voted for a candidate. We couldn't believe you. I said, oh, you crazy uncle. Why are you doing that? Then I realized something. He loved God with all his heart, but he needed something desperately. And the church world couldn't help it because they were not one. They were separate. So I said, wait a minute. We have to educate ourselves. And we got to get rid of these color barriers. And we got to start thinking like our enemy thinks. Our enemy thinks we're one. So we're one. So all you that are watching my television, hey, if you're a Baptist, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm Episcopalian. I'm Church of God. I'm Church of Christ. I'm Word of Faith. I'm full gospel. In nome de Patria Filia Spiritu Santo. I'm Catholic. I'm everything you want me to be, man. I am one. Now, when we take all this together and start marching to Washington, or wherever, Osama, your mama. Because America gonna stand now. And in God we trust. Whether you like it or not, court system or nothing, it don't make no difference. In God we trust. Have you ever been to church? No, I ain't never been to church in my life, but in God we trust. Now that's unity. I'll say this in close. This is my last closing, I promise. When your Trinity becomes like God's Trinity, God the Father never tries to renew God the Son. God the Son never tries to crucify God the Spirit. When your spirit and your soul and your body quit fighting each other and do what the Trinity does, when we become one in him, then will we see this sky busted. And we can touch the world in a day. Stand to your feet right now, ladies and gentlemen. The God of superheroes, regular Joes, slick willies.